And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The Game online at thegamenashville.com. Live today from the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. It is a beautiful day, Floyd. We can overlook all of Nashville out here at the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Floyd?
Yes, sir.
I am worried. I'm worried on two fronts. One, I'm worried about everybody on Twitter. Because everybody on Twitter doesn't seem to understand that when you say if Vanderbilt beats Bama, that means if. I'm not saying they're going to beat Bama.
So the word is, Jared Stillman saying, Vandy's going to beat Alabama, and Vandy's going to be in the championship.
Right, and I said if. If. That was my word. If.
But they don't pay attention to that.
Now, the other side of it, the more important side of it, is the other big concern I have. Titans Seahawks this week, right?
Yes, sir.
I think that's a big opportunity for the Titans. It's not a life or death game, but it's a big opportunity, especially with the Texans coming up next, because the Texans don't look very good, and they're going to lose this week to New England. So you can really put some distance between you and your crummy division if you win this game against Seattle. But the one thing Seattle has that I know the Titans don't have is the Seahawks have this been there, done that about them. They've won Super Bowls. They've been back to the Super Bowl. They go to the playoffs every year. As much as I don't like Richard Sherman, and I do not like Richard Sherman, no matter how much, you know, people that knew him in college tell me he's a great guy, I don't like Richard Sherman. But he can play. And Earl Thomas can play. And Russell Wilson can play. And those guys have all been there before, and they've all done that. And I worry about this game getting towards, you know, the late in the game and that experience factor kicking in and putting the Seahawks over the top. Is that a reasonable worry to have? And how important is that kind of element, the been there, done that, of the Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah, it's a legitimate concern, and it should be, because they have, you know, if you look at them across the board, especially in the areas that we're most concerned about, which is the quarterback and the receivers and the defense. And if you look in those areas, they are experienced. They've all been there. They've all done that. They have, you know, the Shelton Richardson guy that they just traded. They traded, who was it? The receiver.
Jermaine Kearse.
Kearse for. Is a legitimate big-time player now. I'm not sure what kind of guy he is in the locker room. I'm not sure what kind of teammate he is. But as far as playing on Sundays, he is legit.
Now, if there's anybody but he doesn't have the been there, done that, because he's been on the Jets.
He's been on the Jets. But my point is that he's going to come in there and he's going to want to be a part of all that. And he is a legitimate guy.
You mean like when you had Corey Dillon in New England and Dillon had been on all those bad Bengals teams and he got to the Patriots and it was like he felt like that was his chance to win a ring and he played his, you know,
I think, off. Yeah, what happens with those guys, and you've heard me talk about this before, but in the Jets locker room, he may have been the biggest personality there. He was the guy. He was the man. And so the things he did and some of the things that you know, he shouldn't have done and whatever – all become an issue. Well, he goes into the locker room in Seattle and walks in there, and you've got all of these defensive linemen. They're great players. You've got Pro Bowl corners. You've got Pro Bowl safeties. You've got a quarterback that is a franchise corner. All of a sudden, you're about 10th in line. So instead of you talking, you do a lot of listening and follow what everybody else does. And I'm sure part of his attitude is going to be, well, I need to show these guys that I can fit in with a team of this quality. So
Sheldon Richardson is a good player, but when I look at the Seahawks and I worry about their experience factor, he's not one of those guys. What I worry about, though, is, like, let's go back to last week's game, right? It's 6-3 at halftime, and you were the person that spotted this, and I'm not sure the average Joe would spot this, but you saw the halftime interview, Melanie Collins with CBS on the field with Doug Marrone, the coach. And Melanie Collins asked him, what are they going to do in the second half? And what was it that Marrone said tipped you off that, what was it? Oh, we need explosive plays.
More explosive plays.
And you said when you heard that, you thought bingo, because you knew that meant that they were going to put the ball in the hands of Blake Bortles. Well, that to me is a freak out move by an inexperienced or bad coach, putting the ball in the hands of a quarterback who's not good because they got impatient. Well, you and I both know Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are not going to do that. They're not going to freak out in a 6-3 ball game like Doug Marrone did. They're too good for that. And so I worry about, you know, the Titans kind of freaked out in that Oakland game a little bit. They did some things coaching-wise I didn't like. They did some things playing-wise I didn't like. They made some overall mistakes. And I just worry about Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and those guys playing it cool and calm and just knowing, look, we got it. We're good. We're fine. We'll take care of this. And Russell makes that big play at the end of the game.
Well, they don't – I mean, let's face it. They have done that time after time in much, much, much bigger games than this game's going to be. And so, you know, if you wonder or not if they can do it, let me assure you they can do it. But I think you look at their defense, we were talking before, and you look at the secondary, experienced. And not only experienced, now they may have a rookie corner that's playing, but they've got experienced players that have won a lot of games, that have been productive players. And so, you know, you say, okay, I mean, the areas that we're weakest, they may be strongest. The areas that we're strongest, they may be pretty good at. So, you know, there's the matchup. Do you like it? Well, you know, not crazy about it. Is there a way that you can find it? You know, is there a method to win? Sure, there is.
You keep looking at that matchup, and I get it. But I'm thinking, when I think about the Titans playing in this game, I think more about just the fact that the Seattle Seahawks are, you know, they are a battle-tested team. They are a team that has been to the Super Bowl. They've been the team that has, you know, heartbreakingly lost the Super Bowl. I mean, they've done, to me, this goes bigger than that. And maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe the Titans have better players. Maybe the Titans will make the better plays. Maybe, but there's something about their cool, calm collectiveness that I kind of worry about. And we had Pete Carroll on the show earlier this week, and I asked Pete about, you know, is this team like kind of the old Seahawks teams, or is this Seahawks team different? And this is what Pete said.
I think there's more similarities than difference. You know, we've been able to hold on to our defense and keep this group together and keep our style together. And we've come out playing pretty well right off the bat again. And it's something that we've always built our program on. You know, special teams playing real hard, defense and running the football has been our way. We had a little bit of a problem last year when Russell was hurt and our running backs were all banged up. We didn't have anybody, it was hard last year to maintain our style. So similarities, we're trying to get right back to that formula. You know, we've got a real simple style, and you know, we're not fooling anybody or revealing anything by telling you that. That's just the way we like the ball, and so we're going to see if we can work our way back to it.
So Pete feels like they're kind of like the Seahawks of old, and I worry that because the Seahawks of old always find a way to get it done. They always find a way to be in the playoffs, and the Titans of old always seem to find a way to not get it done.
And there's no doubt. I mean, this Seahawks team is going to end up in the playoffs. I think we know that. And, you know, where are we going to end up? We're not sure yet. So, you know, there's something to all that. But, I mean, the bottom line is they've just got some areas that are really, really strong. Really, the matchups, they scare me. I look at them and I worry about them. Now, can we take care of it? Can you change all that? Sure, you can. You know, but I'm not sure we have yet.
I just worry about their experience. I worry about the fact that they're not going to panic. And like I said earlier, Russell has thrown 45 picks in his career in 6 seasons. Russell's not going to turn the ball over. This is not, you know, we talked all week about the Jacksonville game last week about, hey, if the Titans can make this game about the quarterbacks, the Titans will win because Blake's going to throw you one or two. And, of course, they did make it about the quarterbacks, and Blake did throw you one or two. Russell's not going to throw you the ball. If this game becomes about the quarterbacks, there's no guarantee you win. In fact, Seattle probably has the upper hand if this game becomes about the quarterbacks.
Oh, no doubt.
So I worry at length about the Seattle Seahawks and just that swagger they have. Just the fact that, you know, what are the Titans to them? You know, they look at the Titans like, oh, yeah, there's another franchise that's trying to pick their feet up off the ground, and they're trying to get going a little bit. And here we are. We've been to the Super Bowl X amount of times. We've been to the playoffs each of the last 6 years or whatever. So certainly have my concerns there as far as that's concerned. Corey Curtis from News 2 is going to join us. That's coming up next. We'll get his take on the Titans. Also, the latest on DeMarco Murray and what he thinks is going to happen there. We'll get all of that. It is Fireball Hot Take Friday, and let me tell you about Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. Here we are downtown Nashville. I look downtown, and I see everybody, all these tourists that are hanging around, and they're getting ready. And they're going to go out, and they're going to celebrate with Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's how you should, too, this weekend. Tons of great action on the TV, and the best way to celebrate is with that ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It goes down so smooth, and it is so refreshing. It is Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. It's Jared and the GM, Corey Curtis, News 2 next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM live out at the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. The Seahawks are set to roll in town. Floyd's buddy Pete Carroll and the Seahawks going to come into town to take on the Titans. Floyd, I think this game's big because if the Titans win, all of a sudden they're 2-1 with Houston, who's definitely going to lose to New England at 1-2 next week. And we know the division stinks and we know the Colts are no good. And it's a huge opportunity against the Seahawks. And with that, we bring in Corey Curtis from News 2. Now, the latest on DeMarco Murray, Corey, is that he practiced on some limited basis today. What are you hearing, and what do you think the odds of him playing on Sunday are?
Well, they're definitely running it out to the very last second here. It sounds like he wants to try to give it a go. How much he plays, I don't know. I think he's much more likely to pass protect and be in the passing game than to open things up in the run game. But like I've said, this coaching staff has a clear trust for DeMarco Murray in him doing the right things, especially as it pertains to making sure Mariota is safe. And so I expect him to give it a go, but we'll see. I mean, this is a tricky injury, and I think if you were playing a lesser opponent, you would like to sit him down, but you've got a team that goes after your quarterback, so I think they would like to see him up.
Corey, I'm worried the most about the two quarterbacks, and the biggest reason I'm worried about that is because Russell Wilson does not throw picks a lot, and Marcus Mariota has the tendency to throw some picks, and that Seahawks secondary is very, very good. How important is the two quarterbacks and that matchup between the two going to be on Sunday?
Well, I think it's huge because, I mean, when you look at Russell Wilson, he's practically been the entire offense. You know, the offensive line is struggling. They've got a merry-go-round of running backs in there. You know, Rawls has been injured. Eddie Lacy is struggling with his girth. And then you've got a rookie in there who's un-Seahawk-like in Carson, but he's a little speedier, and he's given them something. But, you know, their line's having a hard time getting them to do anything. You know, as for Mariota and turnovers, you look the back half of last season, the Titans were among the top five teams in the league in turnover margin because Mariota learned to take care of the football. I liken this game to the Denver matchup last year when they came to Nissan Stadium, where Marcus's numbers were terrible, but the coaching staff told him, if you're in doubt, throw the football away. If you don't turn the ball over, we're going to win the game. And I think that's the approach that they'll likely take in this game. He only went like 8-for-20 in that game, but I think half of those incompletions were balls that he simply threw away to avoid sacks and turnovers. And I think, you know, Marcus is a quarterback who's willing to accept incomplete, which not a lot of quarterbacks or some quarterbacks struggle to accept that. So I think Marcus knows exactly what kind of game this is. Now, ball security, if he's hit, is another issue, but it seems to be one he's improved on. I'm not nearly as nervous as you sound about Marcus turning the football over, but, you know, the Seahawks defense should make you nervous. It's been good, and it's been good for a really long time.
I worry about turning it over, but I don't worry about turning it over, about Marcus turning it over. I just worry about the limited receiving group that we're going to have going against this secondary.
I agree, and I think, you know, one of the reasons you sit Corey Davis down in this game, he's hurt, number one, but they also clearly had some communication issues. You can't have this with this team or it goes 6 points the other way. Right. So it's kind of a win-win to me having him kind of sit this one out. Get healthy, avoid a tragic mistake. And if I'm the Titans, you know, this team's given up 120 yards rushing a game. I think they got to take it at them, because the best way to neutralize a pass rusher is by running the football right at them. And then you've got to look to Delanie Walker in the middle of the field. And until you can soften them up in the run game and you can try to suck those corners in some, I don't know that you really want to challenge them all that much.
One of the other areas that really concerns me, Corey, is the ability to rush slash contain Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, in your mind, are we going to be athletic enough on the outside to be able to do that?
Here's the question I've got, and you know better than me on this one here, GM. Do you employ Jayon Brown as a spy? Because this kid can really run, and I think he's really well-suited for this. I have concerns about Morgan and Arakpo coming from the outside and Wilson wheeling out and breaking containment. That's a huge problem. But, right. You know, when you look at the Seahawks offense, he's your number one problem. So, you know, if there's a game where you're going to put a spy on a quarterback, this would seem to be it. But, you know, Dick LeBeau is far smarter than I am. But it was interesting to hear him say he's never faced Russell Wilson before. So, you know, he's faced some other quarterbacks like him, but he's never faced Russell before. His mobility is a huge issue. To me, you drafted Jayon Brown to kind of handle these situations. And I just wonder if they deploy him in that role.
That's a good idea. I don't know if they'll do it, but that's certainly a good idea.
I don't know if they'll do it either. But I think he's clearly, you know, look, their offensive line's going to struggle. The Titans are going to get heat on the quarterback. So you know Wilson's wheels are going to be an issue. You've got to be prepared to deal with it.
Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest here on the show, here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Do you think the Titans' performance against Jacksonville is more indicative of who they are, or do you think it is the Oakland game? Which one would you say is more like the actual Titans that we'll probably see Sunday against Seattle?
Well, I mean, I'm not as down on them for the Oakland performance as everybody else is. So, I mean, I still think, you know, we're going to see them run the football a little bit more. You know, the Raiders' line is a really good one, and that's why they struggled to get heat on Derek Carr. So, you know, you're never as good on your as you are on your best day or as bad as you were on your worst. So that's my way of saying they're probably somewhere in between. But we're early into the season. I mean, last season, the first four games, you know, we didn't know if the Titans were going to win four games all year because they struggled out of the gate. So we see levels of improvement, and you feel like this group starts with at a higher level, with a higher level of expectation. And I see this group, you know, getting better. And I think the offensive line is making some strides, and they are getting better. So I would have to say the Jacksonville game is more indicative to me of what we're going to see, because I think they're going to be in those positions of putting games away this season.
Hot Take Friday time for Corey Curtis of News 2. What is your hot take of the week?
You know, I love to give fantasy football advice, but no one should listen to me anymore. Not ever again.
Why did you give fantasy football again. Advice?
I mean, look, I drafted a team this year, and I lost Kevin White and Allen Robinson on the very first weekend.
Okay.
I mean, I am a fantasy curse.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate fantasy football, so I guess I'm not a good person to have that kind of talk with. And I hate people that ask me, hey, should I start so-and-so this week, or should I start? I don't care. I mean, I'm a fantasy football hater.
I would never
hater.
Ask you that because I don't respect your opinion enough. So.
That's a hate. Almost as much as I hate fantasy football. Corey Curtis, News 2. Corey, we will see you on the Coach's Show this week. And of course, I watched the Coach's Show last week. Not as exciting as the first week when they lost. I'm thinking it's probably more fun when they lose than when they win.
Oh,
for us,
no,
maybe. For you, it's more fun when they win.
It happens. It depends on what happens in the game. Each show kind of takes on a life of its own. Let me say, though, there's a special time this week. We're on at 10:35 because of college football on ABC.
Oh, I thought I was talking about the Monday Coach's Show, but
oh no,
that's
I'm
a
talking about Saturday
to
show.
I was worried that Wheel of Fortune was going to bump you guys somewhere else, and I was like, well, you know, Wheel of Fortune, people love that.
Believe me, all of Floyd's friends call me every week wondering why Wheel of Fortune isn't on.
I mean, my goodness, Corey Curtis comes on, says he doesn't respect my opinion, and calls Floyd old. I mean, it just today is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, good to talk to you.
You know what it is, guys? Bobby the Brain Heenan died, and you guys, I need to take that role of the heel over in this world. One of the greatest heels ever has passed away, and I need to take the spot.
Fantasy football and wrestling. I mean, Corey Curtis News 2, we will talk next week, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.
Have a great show, guys.
Yeah.
Fantasy football and wrestling.
Those are his hot takes. You didn't even know it.
I'll say this. I know I'm in the minority with this. I hate fantasy football. I hate it. And people are going to say, oh, Jared's just the Grinch who stole fantasy football. And you're probably right. I've played it a couple times, never liked it. Never liked it. Never liked it when people would say, should I start Andy Dalton this week or should I start Phillip Rivers? Like, dude, I don't care. And nobody cares about your fantasy team. Like when people start striking up fantasy conversations I got 37 points.
Oh,
with,
it's gigantic.
Get out of here. Yeah. Go, leave.
You see somebody ready to slit their throat over a touchdown. You go, you should be excited. They go, do you realize that was not on my guy? I should have activated him or I should have started him. And I'm going, I really don't care.
Dude, I tell you the ones I hate are when you're watching a game with someone and you're like, they're like, what happened in the Oakland game? Like, oh, yeah, Oakland's up 28-3. Oh, man, I have Derek Carr on my fantasy team. How's he playing? One, I don't know. Two, I don't care. You asked the score, and I don't care about your fantasy team. I am a fantasy football hater. I get it. You people, 99% of our audience loves fantasy football. Loves it. I mean, can't breathe without fantasy football. And I absolutely hate it. What's that make me?
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. It doesn't do much for me. But I'll tell you what now. You're right about the fact there are millions. If I would have started in the fantasy football world when fantasy football started, mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be living in Europe someplace.
Oh, if you had left the Titans and had become this fantasy football guru, Mel Kiper Jr., you're like, Mel Kiper Jr. doesn't know anything that nobody else knows. Mel Kiper Jr. doesn't know anything. And, I mean, we would, during the draft, we would hear some of the things Mel would say, and we'd laugh. What is Mel talking about? And, remember when Mel was talking about Josh Dobbs working his way into the first round or whatever? Stop. But Mel has such a brand of being this draft guru. If you had done that with fantasy football.
Oh, yeah.
You know, former GM becomes Floyd Reese fantasy football. They would honestly want to make a Vegas casino for you.
Unbelievable.
You would be like the modern day Jimmy the Greek Snyder if Jimmy the Greek had actually been a GM. But nope. We weren't smart enough to launch that marketing campaign, were we? We should have done it.
I was in
high school at the time, and you were going to the Patriots, so I guess that's kind of our fault. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I got a big question surrounding the Bama-Vandy game, and it has nothing to do with Bama, and it has nothing to do with Vandy, but it's a big question around this game, Floyd. I need answers. That's next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're live at the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel on ESPN 102.5, the game.
We certainly look forward to the SEC. This is our opener on the road against a very good Vanderbilt team who, as you all know, just beat K-State, who was a ranked team, and they are 3-0.
Nick Saban, he's a believer in Vandy. 3-0 Vandy just beat a good K-State team, as Nick Saban points out. Nick Saban is worried about Vanderbilt, is he? Do you think Nick's worried about Vanderbilt?
Next game, he's always worried.
Do you think he's actually worried about Vanderbilt? I mean, he's your good friend. You talk about that in that car commercial.
He'll portray the whole whatever he has to do. He'll make him believe he's worried.
But do you think he's worried?
I don't know. Yeah, he's worried.
Well, what I know from your commercial about Nick Saban is that he never worries because that standard of excellence that he lives up to.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. I don't think Nick Saban's worried, and I don't think you think Nick Saban is worried, and I think everybody out there thinks Nick Saban's not worried. But I've been listening to a lot of the local media. I've been hearing a lot of the things people have said on this station and people have written and, you know, whatever. And I feel like there's some kind of general consensus that Vanderbilt has a chance in this game. They play tomorrow on CBS at 2:30. It feels, I mean, Jesse Palmer yesterday before the Temple South Florida game, Jesse Palmer was saying, you know, this is going to be a close game, and people are making this sound like Vanderbilt has a chance. Vanderbilt does not have a chance, Floyd. Where are all these people getting the idea that Vanderbilt has a chance? Where is that coming from? Vanderbilt does not have a chance, correct?
Going to be hard. Going to be really, really hard. I mean, they're going to face things from this Alabama team that they haven't faced in a long time. You know, they're going to if they try to run the ball, they're going to find out they can't run the ball. Are they going to be able to protect a quarterback? Are they going to be able to beat the coverage, because they're going to get some man-for-man coverage? You know, are they going to handle the blitz? All of those things. Then the other side of the ball, you know, are they going to be able to tackle that big old running back and cover those receivers and, you know, tackle the quarterback? So, I mean, they're a solid team. I mean, this would be the best
team. In
layman's
terms, the answer is no.
This would be the best team they've played. When was the last time they played Alabama?
2011.
Since the last time they played Alabama.
I mean, Jordan Rogers was quarterback of Vanderbilt in that game. Literally told me, he's like, I almost got killed in that game.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, I almost. He said, too, like, the Alabama defense was one of the most confusing defenses he's ever played against.
Yeah.
And that the Alabama defense was more confusing than when he got to the NFL. And, you know, he was in training camp and played in games and was on a practice squad and said that the Alabama defense was more, I guess, complex than the defenses that he saw in the NFL. That's how Nick Saban coaches it. The truth is, Vanderbilt has no shot. I'm just wondering where the local media is getting this idea that they do have a chance. Like, even, and I love Darren, but I heard the promo where Darren's saying this is a golden opportunity. A golden opportunity for what? Like, for what? Do you really think Vanderbilt's going to beat this team? I said on the show the other day, I hope it's I hope it's 21 points. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, just keep it under 21 and you can feel good about your team. But you're not going to beat Alabama. You know, it's like Joe Rexroad wrote in the Tennessean. Like Saban, Derek Mason knows this is about players. Saban has the best in the nation, and recruiting rankings suggest this will be no contest. But several recruits Mason added in haste after getting this job in January 2014 are now key performers on the field, and that speaks to his talent evaluation and development. I think that's fair enough. He then goes on to say, that's what you need to build a program, and with enough belief and confidence to make a day like this interesting. Derek Mason's Vanderbilt Commodores are bursting with both. They're not going to make this game interesting. I'm not trying to rain on the Vanderbilt parade, but they're not. This is not going to be a ball game. And I don't know, like, I hear people talk on the radio, and I hear guests come on, and I hear, well, if Vanderbilt is able, it's just not going to happen, people. Vanderbilt's got no shot. No shot. And that's not an indictment of the coach. That's not an indictment of the players. That's not an indictment of anything. It's okay to not be as good as Alabama or be anywhere close to Alabama, because that's just the reality of the situation. Am I being too harsh on my assessment of Vanderbilt's chances?
Well, I don't think, you know, again, I feel sorry for the coach and the players. The coach and the players are going to go out there and play their hearts out. And they're going to pray something truly, truly unique and odd and squirrely happens. The average Vanderbilt fan, the supporter that we've seen over the last 4 or 5 or 6 years, can't expect to win this game.
Oh, no, they have no.
They have not put it. If they try to compare themselves as far as what they've done for the program compared to what Alabama has done for their program, you are talking about literally as far apart as you can get. I mean, and I don't know where that is, how far that is, but I mean, Alabama will literally do anything to help that program. And Vandy has a tough time doing that. And again, we've talked about this before. That doesn't make them wrong. It just makes them different. You know, if they want to have a chemistry exam along the way, Vandy will win that. But if you want to have a football game along the way, Alabama will probably win that.
You better watch saying that. That'll end up in that'll end up in the at AL.com in the Tuscaloosa News, Floyd Reese talking about chemistry tests in Alabama not being smart. And the next thing you know, Jamel Hill and Michael Smith will be talking about it for 45 minutes at 6 o'clock on SportsCenter. So just be careful when you say that, Floyd.
All right.
We'll take your call, 615-737-1025. I just don't even think this is going to be close. Is it Patton? Patton is up next on Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Patton?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. First off, I just want to reference that I'm a Vanderbilt fan, and I'm not really expecting much out of this game. So my thing would be a close game would be a victory, but I would also like to put a few points in there. Alabama, I've watched a lot of their games this season, and they've had some trouble getting touchdowns. They've kicked a lot of field goals. So my feeling is if Vanderbilt can hold them to two touchdowns, and they may have 30 field goals for all I know. But and also, Vanderbilt's passing game this year has been a lot better compared to previous years, especially in K-State, where they just could not run the ball, it felt like. And they had to rely on their passing game to win that game. So I would just like to get your take on that, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Hey, I do. I agree with you. I think Vanderbilt's passing game has improved. That doesn't mean they're going to be able to throw the ball in Alabama.
I think everything he said is right on. I mean, I think he's exactly right. And I think that, you know, it has improved. And there's absolutely no doubt in my mind this is the best Vandy team we've seen for the last X number of years. It's just, it's still so far away from where Alabama is. It's just a long, long way. And you know, it's not that hard to track the path and the differences along the path. And so it's probably, you know, right where it should be. I mean, I think the expectations and probably the outcome will be where it should be. I think that a couple of things that Vandy does have going for him is that Alabama overlooks him, which, you know, you can hear Nick already the things he's trying to sell, which is they just beat the number 17 team in the country. They're much better than you think, and that this is our SEC opener, and you always want to win your SEC opener away or at home, and on and on. And I understand that, and I can appreciate that. But we're talking about a world of difference here.
This is the game of the week, and you're right. It is not only a world. It's probably a solar system of difference. But this is the game of the week on CBS. Vanderbilt is the game of the week against Alabama. And coming up next, and we'll take more to call, 615-737-1025, but coming up next, I got a real big question for UT fans. Floyd, it's going to be a very interesting question for UT fans. Speaking of college football, we're bringing you the best coverage with the premier college football preview show, The Saturday Tailgate. It'll be myself, Julian Council, live out at Mafiosa's in Franklin every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. So that's tomorrow. We'll have tons of Vandy and Alabama breakdown. We'll have a lot of talk about the Vols on the pregame show. We'll have a lot of talk around the SEC. You can't get that on any of these other pregame shows. But 10 a.m. to noon right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live at the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Fireball.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared and the GM live at the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. So I will get to the calls in a second on Vandy. But I do want to ask a serious question of Tennessee fans. So if you're a Tennessee fan, I want you to listen to this one very intently. Tennessee plays UMass tomorrow. Nobody cares. Vanderbilt plays Alabama. Every Tennessee fan, at least living in this area, I know every Tennessee fan is going to watch that game. Because, like, I had this theory when I was on the air in Louisville. I had a theory that it was okay to talk about Louisville and Kentucky because every Louisville fan watched every Kentucky game hoping that Kentucky would lose. And every Kentucky fan watched every Louisville game hoping they would lose just as much as they watched their own teams play. Well, we know Tennessee fans are going to watch the Vandy-Bama game. If you're a Tennessee fan, Floyd, who do you root for? Because if you, generally speaking, root against Alabama, which I think most UT fans would do naturally, and Vanderbilt wins, I mean, you're never going to hear the end of it from Vanderbilt fans. And Tennessee, I think, is getting just sick enough of Vanderbilt fans right now that it's starting to cross over from, well, you know, I hope Vandy does well when they're not playing UT, to I am so sick and tired of hearing Vandy fans run their mouth. And if they beat Alabama, that would put the Vanderbilt fans talking too much over the top. So if you're a UT fan, who do you root for? Do you root for the status quo so it doesn't give the Vanderbilt fans the opportunity to pump their chest?
I think you root for Georgia or Mississippi State, because that'll be the game you're watching. I don't think you'll watch this game. Do you think?
That's, what do you mean?
I don't think.
They're not on at the same time.
Oh, they aren't?
No.
Oh, I thought maybe they were
when
on
you
the
have,
same
when
time.
When you pay the kind of money CBS pays for the SEC, you get that exclusive primetime broadcast right.
I'm going to guess there'll be other games on. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, and I, you know me, I
mean, there'll
I try
be a game
watch
on ABC
every game
or whatever. But,
yeah, yeah.
But this is, I mean, this is the game on CBS, the SEC.
Yeah.
Tennessee fans are going to watch this game.
You think?
Yes.
Why?
They are all, because it's the, first of all, Tennessee fans watch every game of the week in the SEC. Just like I watch every game of the week, just like you watch every game of the week.
Yeah.
If Georgia versus LSU were the game of the week, we'd be watching Georgia versus LSU. So they automatically already watch the game of the week. But more importantly, it's their biggest rival, Alabama, or at least who they think is their biggest rival.
Whoa.
It's really their big. It's really, well, maybe Florida, but it's who they think their biggest rival is or should be in Alabama, and it's who their biggest rival actually is in Vanderbilt playing each other.
When is Florida Kentucky?
I think that's at night too. I think that's the, yeah, that's at night because Jordan's calling the game. It's the SEC Network 7 o'clock game or whatever.
And the Vandy games at what time?
2:30.
Yeah, I don't know.
So if you're a Tennessee fan, who do you root for?
I mean, I wouldn't watch the game.
Yeah, doesn't matter. You have to pick. You're trying to get out of this. Tennessee fans are 100% going to watch this game. I think you know they're going to watch this game.
I don't know why.
It's their two biggest rivals.
Well, yeah, but they know what's going to happen. It's not going to be a surprise to anybody.
Okay, well now let's say you're Johnny UT fan, okay, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to watch this game, and all of a sudden you start looking on Twitter or you get texts from people, and Vanderbilt's got a 3-point lead with 5 minutes to go. Then Johnny UT fan is sprinting to the TV.
Then you turn it. Yeah, I agree to that.
So then, who is Johnny UT fan rooting for?
I have no idea.
If you are a UT fan, who would you root for?
I don't think I would root for anybody. I mean, I'm not kidding. I know what's going to happen. I don't know that I would. It's like betting. Would you bet on this game?
He is no fun. He is no fun.
I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't.
Sturgill is
do
more
you,
fun
you
right
don't,
now than
you don't want Alabama to win because you got to play Alabama, and you don't want Vandy to win because you're in the same state. So if you hear Vandy beat them and you go and get your butt kicked, you certainly don't want them to win.
Phones. So John is up next.
I don't
next.
Know.
John, you are no fun. Well, no fun on
I,
this.
I don't know.
You, no fun.
I would watch another game. That's what I'd do.
Zero fun, sir. That's what you are today. Let's go to the phones. John is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Johnny?
All right. Before I get to my point, I will say I would pick Alabama to win 3-2. That's a win-win situation for a UT fan. That really hurts Alabama. But my real question was going to be, Floyd, if you went into a game as a professional GM, did you ever go into the game thinking, man, we really have our work cut out, we're probably going to come up on the short end? And going in thinking that, how did it turn out for you?
You know, yeah, I mean, we've gone into games where you knew it was going to be really, really hard. I think as a coach or a GM or if you're part of an organization, you can always find a path for you to win. You know, you can always say, well, if this happens, we're really going to have a chance. Now, how often does that happen? I'm not sure it happens very often. But in your mind, I think that's the way you keep yourself confident. You know, you go and say, okay, if we can return a punt or if we can block a kick or if we can do a whatever, then we'll be right in the middle of it. Anything other than that, we're probably going to suffer.
My freshman year at Louisville, women's hoops, we played in the Big East Championship game and lost by 39 to Connecticut. So a month later, we go all the way to the Final Four. We beat Oklahoma. Now we're playing Connecticut again in the national title, who a month before had beat us by 39 points. And I just remember listening to Coach talk that morning, and we were in this huge ballroom at this really nice hotel at the Final Four, and Coach is talking about, you know, how we're going to find a way to win this game against Connecticut or whatever. And I walked out of that room, and everybody on the team did. We walked out of that room thinking, going to win the national title tonight. And I think at one point we were up like 18-17. And I remember looking up at the Jumbotron thinking, we're going to win the national title. And then we lost by 22. And that's just kind of how this works with Connecticut. And I feel like Vandy playing Alabama is not even like us playing Connecticut, because we were the number two team in the country. It's like Vandy's women's team playing Connecticut. There's no shot.
Yeah.
Don is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Don?
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Don.
Hey, listen, GM, I got to take my hat off to you, man. I don't have one on, but I'm putting it on and taking it off. You dealing with Jared up in there every day, man. I take my hat off to you.
Thank you, sir.
I got to say this, man. At any time, as far fast as it is, as far as Vanderbilt beating Alabama, any team can lose at any time. So the guys got to go in there believing that they got to win, whether they win or not. But it's a possibility on everything. That's all I want to say. Enjoy the show, man. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate the call, Don. I think that's the way I felt when we played Connecticut in the championship was, hey, anything can happen.
And you can, like I said, if you're part of a team, you have to show them that there is a path. And you don't need to tell them it's a very, very narrow path. You just need to show them that path.
The next year, we were 14-18. Connecticut was still Connecticut. We had a couple players get hurt. Our star player went to the WNBA. And I'll never forget, we played Connecticut on Super Bowl Sunday. Because, you know, ESPN has nothing to put on TV on Super Bowl Sunday because the Super Bowl's on. So we were playing on Super Bowl Sunday. And I remember Coach saying in the locker room before the game, if you guys beat Connecticut, they might cancel the Super Bowl tonight. We, of course, did not beat Connecticut. Just like, once again, Vanderbilt will not beat Alabama. Let's go to Jack up next here as we're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. What's up, Jack?
Not a lot. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. So I believe that Vanderbilt is the team to root for in here, and mainly for Derek Mason. He came
in. Are you a Tennessee fan, Jack?
Huh?
Are you a Tennessee fan?
No, sir. I'm an Alabama fan, actually.
Wow.
So then are you not rooting for Alabama?
Well, I mean, I live in Franklin, so I believe that Vanderbilt kind of is a hometown team. And I personally knew Coach George McIntyre, who was the last coach before James Franklin to beat Tennessee. I believe that Derek Mason, after coming in, after James Franklin, who had success at Vandy in his last year, coming in, and he had a mediocre season that year, and he's really he could become. And you look at
Jack, the phone man's killing me, man. I appreciate your call. Let's go to...
Thanks, Jack. I'm going to tell you, he is a bright young fan. He had an opinion going there,
didn't he?
But yeah.
His phone was cutting out.
Yeah, his phone
we couldn't
was
hear anything he was saying. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Okay. I got a real big question about this Titans game I want to get to with you, Mr. GM. And you are the expert talent evaluator that I know. And we'll get to that next. Although it kills me deep down inside that we didn't start our fantasy football business that we talked about earlier.
Oh, amen.
Even though we both hate fantasy football. It's Jared and the GM Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.